Number of years ago, when I was in YU Smicha, so I took a course with Dr. Pelkovitz. And one Friday, he was giving a lesson on parenthood, fatherhood, and he was describing the importance of showing affection to one's children, to your sons and to your daughters, giving them kisses, giving them hugs, even holding their hands, touching them. They're very, very important. And he showed through a number of different studies the importance of showing affection. Dr. Kellerman also has a number of interesting studies proving the same idea, that how important it is to show affection when it comes to the father, especially. Mothers have an easier time. So he gave the following recommendation. He said that even if you did not have the minhag to do birchas habanim Friday nights in your house, he thought that it was very, very important to give your sons and daughters brachas, because it forces you to place your hands on their head. It forces you to give them a kiss, hopefully, and therefore building in at least once a week this concept of affection to the children. Now, what he didn't address was the halachic implications. Is that really permitted? Are you and I allowed to, if we're not kohanim, and perhaps even if you are a kohen, can you give the bracha to your children? We say, Yisimcha l'kim k'Efraim m'chmanasha, and for a girl we say, Yisimcha l'kim k'sar rivka racha v'leya, and then typically we say, the brachas of Yirecha Hashem v'yishmerecha v'chule. That's birchas kohanim. Is it permitted for a non-kohen, for a zar, to say the psukim of birchas kohanim? So I wanted to discuss it this week, because the pasuk tells us in yesterday's parshin, source number one, it says, Vayisa Aaron es yodav el ha'am vayivarchem. And Aaron spread his hands out over the am, and he gave them a bracha. Which bracha did Aaron give? So says Rashi, birchas kohanim. He gave them birchas kohanim, as it says, Yivarecha ya'er yisa. That's what Aaron was doing. He was giving birchas kohanim. There are two places in the Torah that discusses Birchas Kohanim. One is here in the Parsha Shemini, and the second appearance is in Parsha's Naso. It talks about Birchas Kohanim. So the Gemara in Ksubas tells us on Daf Chav Dal Amud Beis, source number three, without getting involved in the context there, it tells us that there's a Isser Asay for Zar to do Birchas Kohanim. It's Asser for you and I, any Kohanim here. I think everyone here are non-Kohanim. There's an Isser Asay for a Zar, for a non-Kohen, to do Birchas Kohanim. And what's the source? Says Rashi in source number four. It says, Ko Sevarchu, in Parshas Naso. Ko Sevarchu Atem Velozarim. You have to give a bracha. Only Kohanim are allowed to give a bracha. Non-Kohanim are not allowed to give a bracha. That's called an Isra Aseh, because when the Pasuk formulates it as an Aseh, that you have to do something, and then implies someone else doesn't do it, that's an Isra Aseh. It doesn't say lo, it's an implication. So there's an Isra Aseh for a zar to give a bracha. So the question becomes that all the Acharim ask, the Torah Tzmim asks the question, the Mishabur asks the question, and the many others, how could you and I give Birchas Kohanim Friday nights? Under the chuppah, many have the custom to give Birchas Kohanim to the children. How is that permitted? Or a stam, a person giving a bracha, saying the psukim of Birchas Kohanim, how is that permitted if the Gemara says that there is an Isra Aseh for a zar to do Birchas Kohanim? Now there's a fascinating Gemara in Tosas and Shabbos I want to mention, leave it in the back burner for now. The Gemara tells us, source number five, Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Chesem Beis, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Miyomai, in all my days, Lavarti al divrei chaveri. Never did I go against my friend's words. If my friend told me to do something, I would listen. Yodea ani, I know, batsmi, I know myself, says Rabbi Yossi, Sheini Kohen, I'm not a Kohen. And im omrim li chaveri, if my friends tell me, Ola l'duchen, go duchen, go do birchas kohanim. Ani ola, I would listen to them. See, even though Rabbi Yossi knows that he's not a kohen, he would listen to his friends. His friends were more important than the Isra Aseh. He was willing to violate the Isra Aseh of being a non-kohen and doing birchas kohanim to listen to his friends. Listening to his friends is more important. So there's a pella found in Tosos. Tosos says, number six, lo yoda ri ma isra yesh bazar. I have no idea what's the great thing. What's wrong? Rabbi Yossi is a zar. What's the big deal if a zar violates Birchas Kohanim? What's the isser involved? He says, maybe you're going to tell me, because there's a bracha levatala. When the Kohanim do Birchas Kohanim, there's a bracha that they say first. So only Kohanim could say that bracha before, bracha ta Hashem and v'chule. And non-Kohanim can't, so it's a bracha levatala for them. But what other isser is there? We assume that Tosos knows all of Shas. I mean, the Tosos, we just saw the Gemara in Ksubas, that tells us that if you're not a Kohen, there's an isser asay for a zar to do Birchas Kohanim. So why is Tosos completely ignoring the Gemara in Ksubas? So we're going to leave that Tosos in the back of our mind. We're going to return to explain that. But right now, there's an Isra Aseh. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch, number 7. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Chav Ches. V'ein Lizar Lisa Kapav. There's an Isra Aseh for a zar to do birchas kohanim.
What's a zar?
A non-kohen. A zar is a non-kohen. A non-kohen, a Levi Yisrael, it's forbidden for him to do birchas kohanim. So the Be'er Halacha asks this question, source number 8. How is it possible then, L'chora, he writes in number 8, L'fize yesh l'tzmoa al min haga'olam shenogin levarach echa l'chaveru. How could one person, a zar, give another person a birchas kohanim? How much of all, if what your custom is my custom, not my father's custom, but my own, based on Dr. Pelkowitz's advice, I give birchas kohanim to my children Friday nights. So how could you do this? Asks the Be'er Halacha. It's an iser asay, it's an iser deraisa, for a non-kohen to do birchas kohanim. So maybe you're going to tell me, it's only aser, birchas kohanim maybe is only in the context of tefillah. We have chazar tashatz, and then during that course they do tefillah, then birchas kohanim at the end, and Eretz Yisrael they really do birchas kohanim. In the chutzarts we just say the psukim. So maybe it's only the mitzvah if I do it during tefillah. But if I do it outside of tefillah, like I do Friday night, that's completely okay. That's not the mitzvah. Says the Be'er Halacha, that can't be true. Because tefillah, according to most Rishonim, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So it's impossible that a mitzvah d'rabbanan is going to define a mitzvah d'raisa birchas kohanim. Birchas kohanim, which is d'raisa, cannot be limited, restricted to a tefillah, which is only mid'rabbanan. If you assume tefillah is d'raisa, so that maybe that could be a suggestion. That tefillah is d'raisa, birchas kohanim are d'raisa, and they only go hand in hand. So then if I do it outside the context of tefillah, maybe that's okay. But since we normally assume, like most Rishonim, that tefillah is only mid-rabbanim, so it doesn't make sense that birchas kohanim is only the mitzvah that I do it in the context of tefillah. So that doesn't work. So how could it be, again, that a zar could do birchas kohanim, that you and I could do birchas kohanim on Friday nights? So the first suggestion that the Be'er Halacha suggests is, perhaps it's because we assume the kaimalon mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Big machlokas, Rishonim, Gemara has a machlokas, Rishonim have a machlokas, the poskim have a machlokas. Does a mitzvah require kavanah or not when I do it? So we typically assume by mitzvahs deraisa you require, and if you don't have the kavanah, it's makeh b'dieved. And mitzvahs that you require, b'dieved, even if you, by mitzvahs deraisa, if I did not have kavanah, I need to redo the mitzvah. But mitzvahs derabanan, we assume l'chachil, you should have, but if you didn't have, b'dieved, you're yotzer. So since we assume mitzvahs tzichos kavanah, and when I give my children a bracha with a psukim Friday night, I don't have the kavanah of performing the mitzvah. I just want to say nice psukim with a lot of bracha to them, but not because of birchas kohanim, because they're beautiful psukim. So since I don't have the kavanah of b'kayin the mitzvah, that's not a problem. I'm allowed to do that. And that's his first suggestion. Then he suggests here, quoting from the Bach, there's a discussion whether priests yadayim in general, when it comes to birchas kohanim, if they don't spread their hands, or they don't spread their fingers, is that going to be ma'akev the mitzvah birchas kohanim? So the Bach assumes that it is ma'akev. If the kohanim stand up, the hands behind the back, or even hands on their side, and they don't do priestess yadayim, that's not the mitzvah birchas kohanim.
It's the words.
You need the priestess yadayim in order to, that has to accompany the words, in order to fulfill the mitzvah.
Just the words.
Exactly. You need both of them. So if you assume that way, so then a zar is able to say the psukim if he doesn't put his hands over the head. So in my house, I place my hands on my sons and daughters. So according to this, it would only work if I didn't do that. If I just stood there and just said the psukim and said the brachas to them, that would be permitted. It's only an imitation of birchas kohanim if I do spread my hands over them. That's when there's a problem. When my hands are down by my side or behind my back, that's not birchas kohanim, and then that would be mutter for a zar to say those psukim. That's his second suggestion.
Priest's dive is tam the spread, is not the actual way the kohen.
No, exactly. Not actually that way necessarily, but just spreading the hands, not the ways of the fingers. So that, if you look inside, that's what he writes here in the birchas. The Be'er Halacha explained, ulai yesh lomar the tam haminag bishum desfir like kabach the dafka priest's yadayim over hazar base. Only that way. Again, the fingers are not ma'akev, but the hands are ma'akev, according to the Bach. Okay, so according to that, so that means everyone should go home now, Friday night, those who do birchas kohanim, and should not place their hands over the heads of their sons and daughters. But that seems to not be the minhag. What I've seen is everyone places their hands on the heads of their children. So the Torah Tamima also deals with this shaila in Parshas Naso. He quotes from an Isha Munim, a person, you can't trust every story that you hear from a gadol. So you can't trust every story you hear about the Vilna Gaon. So he heard from a Ish Emunim, a trustworthy individual, that the Gra was once giving a bracha to someone underneath the chuppah. And he was giving birchas kohanim, and the Gra was not a kohen. So he placed only one of his hands on the head, not both of the hands. So afterwards, the Talmidim asked the Grow, for what reason did he only use one hand, not two hands? So the Gro's response was, as recorded by the Torah Tmima, Ki lo matzinu bracha b'shtei yadayim rak lekohanim b'mikdash. The only time that we find that there's a heter for someone to use both hands for a bracha are the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gro wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. She also wasn't a Kohen. So therefore, he wasn't allowed to. He used one hand. So that was the custom of the Gro, based on this idea of the Be'er Halacha, that priest's yadayim is ma'akev. If I only do one hand or no hands, that would be okay. Would not be an imitation of the Birchas Kohanim, and would therefore be permitted to do a Birchas Kohanim to a child Friday night, a Birchas Kohanim underneath the chuppah. It just can't be with two hands. That's the suggestion of the Torah Tmima, quoting from the Gro. Now, the Tshuva's Hanhagos also has such a
discussion. If you're Kohen, can you? Or there's no Beis HaMikdash, so you can't.
Exactly. According to this idea, very good. According to this, even a Kohen, if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, shouldn't be able to do this either. Very good. That's what the Torah Tmim himself says. A Kohen's not allowed to do this either, outside of the Beis HaMikdash.
In any form?
With both hands. He could say the Pesukim. According to the Gra and the second suggestion of Erlacha, you could say any Pesukim you want. Just one hand or no hands. Just not both hands. Now, the Tshuva's Hanhagos is also dealing with his Shaila.
The Sternbach?
Yep. And he's talking about this particular Shaila of giving the Bracha to our sons and daughters Friday nights. And he says the custom is people placing both hands on the sons and daughters' head. Kain smicha, like Yeshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu placed both hands on Yeshua's head in order to pass the Bracha onto Yeshua. That's how many do the Bracha as well Friday nights. So he quotes the Siddur Yavetz, yes. This is obviously a very powerful, this is the most important bracha that we have, so they want to tap into that source. Right, you're right, there are many other psukim, beautiful brachas, but this is the highest bracha that we have. It's a lot of Kabbalah, a lot of so that's in these psukim, so they wanted to tap into that bracha.
And when you were talking about, we do it during tefillah,
Yeah, I mean, again, it might not be deraisa at that stage, at least, but let's say in Eretz Yisrael, yes, when they do birchas kohanim, yeah. Is that ma'akevit at all?
They do it here on the block.
Right, Svar Moso, that's true. No, it could still be a kim. We're going to get to the distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and the Chutz Beis HaMikdash, but Pashas is, there's a mitzvah birchas kohanim anywhere. Even outside the Beis HaMikdash. It might be different in nature, as we'll see shortly, but there's a mitzvah deraisa, pashtus, even during tefillah.
There's one thing also in some houses, what I've seen done, is that both the husband and wife both come over to the child. They put four hands. Is there a problem with that?
I've never seen that.
There's no problem. I've never seen that. I don't think there's a problem with that.
About a mother doing it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem
is
of
it
that.
The same as a man?
It's not. That has not been the minog, if Klaisos.
It's more PC than
it's right, exactly. That's the point. But I don't want to get involved in any hashkafas of that. But halachically speaking, there seemingly would not be any problem. But the minhag has been that the fathers give the brachas, not the mothers. So, okay. So the Tshuva's Hanhagos quotes from Rav Yaakov Emden, the Siddur Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emden, and he writes very powerfully here, halfway down, source number 10. Amnam the Siddur Yavetz koreis hamivarchin b'yan echad levad. He referred to those who would give a bracha with just one hand as chasrei das, people lacking knowledge. Not a very complimentary term to use.
Especially with the Vilna
Gaon. Exactly, among them.
Boy,
exactly. So, hasod b'shtei yadayim dafka. That's what his feeling was. The sod is dafka with two hands. It only works using two hands. We'll explain, hopefully, towards the end, some of the sod, what's behind two hands, but the Tshuva's Hanhagos felt, the Siddur Yavetz felt, that it only works through two hands. But he quotes at the end of this paragraph, the Arizal, in his Seder Leil Shabbos, he actually would only use one hand, it would be the right hand. He acknowledges that the Gra also would use the right hand, Api Kabbalah as well. So there's a machlokas, whether you could use two hands, whether you use one hand. I've seen one person use one hand. Someone who learned the Sugya well only used one hand, but most people use two hands. And there's who to rely on. And again, we're going to explain a little bit about the sod, why using two hands might be of significance. And then at the end, he has a suggestion. Maybe if you're a Kohen, like Binyamin Beinish, a Kohen, I think the only one in the room is a Kohen here, maybe only Kohanim could use two hands, but Zar should only use one hand, so maybe you have some type of pshara there. That's his final suggestion. But either way, no matter what you do, whether it's both hands, one hand, no hands, it's all permitted. And certainly it's encouraged to give Birchas Habanim and Birchas Kohanim to the children Friday night. It's a beautiful thing. So those are the first two suggestions. Again, the one is that you have no kavana. Mitzvah tzichas kavana. None of us have kavana for the mitzvah. Number two is perhaps the hand, how many hands you use. Let's go to a third suggestion, and this really gets into the core of the nature of Birchas Kohanim. Now this discussion is really part of a larger sugya. We can do a few weeks on this, the nature of Birchas Kohanim. And the question is, how would you categorize Birchas Kohanim? Where does Rambam place Birchas Kohanim? Anybody know? There could be two places where he could place the halachas. Either it could be in near the Karbanos, Sefer Avoda, or in Sefer Abba when he talks about tefillah. Anybody know where he talks about the halachas?
Tefillah.
Tefillah. Talks about tefillah. That's where it's placed. Which would seem to indicate it's more of a bracha, as opposed to more of an avoda. Then the Sefer Mitzvah, so look at the Rambam. The Rambam, we'll get to number 11 in a second, but number 12 for just one moment. When the Rambam is listing all the minyan hamitzos, hakatzar, in a bridge version of all the various mitzvos, he writes in number 12, Mitzvah Chavdalet, Mitzvah Chafei, Mitzvah Chavdalet are Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, when the Kohanim would go to the base of Migdash, they'd wash their hands and feet. And then he lists Hatavos Neros, cleaning the menorah, and then Nisiyas Kapayim. He lumps together the mitzvah of Nisiyas Kapayim with all the other avodas, which seems to indicate it's an avoda, not a din in bracha, not a din in tefillah. There's a Gemara Menachos, Daf Yud Chesem Beis. Look at number 11. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Kohen She'enu Modeh Ba'avoda, Ein Lo Chelek Bekuna. Any Kohen who does not admit, not agree, does not acknowledge the avodos, doesn't get Chelek Bekuna. What's Chelek Bekuna mean? He doesn't get any of the Matnos Kuna. Anybody know how many Matnos Kuna there are?
24.
How many Mishmaros are there?
Four.
No.
Like it's three or four.
No.
Oh, 24, right. Oh, in the year, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. The Gemara says that there are 24 places where the word Levim is used, but really refers to Kohanim. The number 24 is a very big number when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. 24. Now, a Kohen is only Zoche to the 24 Matnos Kahuna if he admits to the Avoda. They go hand in hand. If you don't admit to the Avoda, then you can't collect on the Schar. So the Gemara says, how do you know which Avodas are included? Which Avodas do they have to be Moda to for them to get their Schar? So the Gemara says, how do you know the 50, which, what are the 15 avodos? So one of the avodos that are mentioned, I have in bold here, Nisiyas Kapayim Bein Bimifnim Bein Mibachutz. Nisiyas Kapayim is categorized as an avoda. The Rambam placed it within Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim as an avoda. Yet the Rambam also placed it in Hilchos Tefillah, which sounds like it's more of a bracha, more of a tefillah, not an avoda. Now the explanation for that, the Chassam Sofer explains, that what's tefillah? Tefillah is b'makom karbanos.
Right.
So tefillah also is some level of a karban. Right. And nisiyas kapayim is in the context of a tefillah, in the context of karbanos. So still, right now, we're assuming that nisiyas kapayim is an avoda. It's connected to karbanos, connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Tzavetz Paneach on this, last week's, yesterday's parsha, number 14, the Rogachever, he writes, Hinei be'emes, the truth is, Im nisiyas kapayim begvulin havi avoda yesh bezek kamistiros. The Rogachever Shitaso, he brings like 25 different sources where some Gemaras say that nisiyas kapayim is an avoda, and other Gemaras say nisiyas kapayim is a bracha. Back and forth, and you look at the sources, your head spins. This Gemara, that Gemara. So I want to just bring a few of these rayas to see whether or not nisiyas kapayim is really an avoda or it's simply a bracha. So number 15, Sota daf lam nechesam alaf. The Gemara says as follows. It's talking about the halacha that a kohen has to stand, has to be b'amida when giving birchas kohanim. How do you know this? So the Gemara says, Tani idach, kosev aruchu b'amida, the bracha has to be b'amida, ata omer b'amida, you say it has to be b'amida, o einu ela afilu b'yeshiva, maybe the kohen could sit down during giving birchas kohanim. The Gemara says, can't be, nemar kan kosev aruchu, nemar lahalan, it says elsewhere, just like in other contexts, it talks about Amida, so to the bracha of Birchas Kohanim has to be done Bamida. Comes along Rabbi Nassim, and he says, you don't need that raya. Harehu Omer, Lisharso Levarich Bishmo. Lisharso is Lisharis, to serve, Sheris, to serve, to do avoda. And it connects the concept of Sheris to bracha. Says Rabbi Nassim, Ma Mishras Bamida. Af mivarech b'amida. Just like avoda, there's a halacha that the yeshiva, the Mishnah in the second parak of Zvachim lists all the various psulim that a kohen is disqualified from doing an avoda. One of the psulim is a yeshiva. A Kohen cannot do the avoda sitting down. So says the Gemara, just like avoda is possible by yeshiva, so too bracha birchas kohanim is possible by yeshiva. It has to be done by midah. This connection highlights that what? Birchas kohanim is an avoda. That's the Gemara in Sota, that birchas kohanim is an avoda and requires a midah. But the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud Aleph and Abin Aleph says the Ragachava, look, number 16, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Minayin le'ikr shira minatora. How do I know that singing is a deraisa concept? Shinemar v'sharis b'shem Hashem alakov, that you serve Hashem with the shem Hashem. How do you serve Hashem with His name? Ezu sheiris b'shem. What's a service that you could provide Hashem by saying His name? Havi omer zeshira. So that's the concept of shira, singing to Hashem minatora. Asks the Gemara ve'ema nisis kapayim. What do you mean? Maybe by giving birchas kohanim and saying those words of birchas kohanim, yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Maybe that's a sheiris b'shem Hashem. Gemara says can't be true. Midichsiv l'sharisu l'varech b'shmo. The same pasuk as before. Michlal de birchas kohanim lav sheirisu. The fact that the Gemara, the pasuk says l'sharisu l'varech separately, sounds like sheiris is one thing. Birchas kohanim is something different. Says the Gemara, birchas kohanim is not sheiris. It's not avoda.
What's sheiris again?
Sheiris means to give service. Another word for avoda. So we see that there's steering Gemaras, whether or not Nisiyas Kapayim is Sheiris, an avoda, or it's not. How do you deal with these two steerers? The Tosfos and Tainus tells us number 17. We're just going to read the bold in the center. Mikan Nira, de Baal Mum Mivarech Birchas Kohanim. If according to Baal Mum, he's still allowed to do Birchas Kohanim. Anyone here learn the, anyone with me on the, there you go, very good. Okay, I think the only one here, right? Okay, the Gemara, the Masechet Megillah theme that we had. So the Mishnah Megillah tells us, Daf Chav Dalam Beis, number 18. Kohen Sheyesh B'yadav Mumim, Lo Yisas Kapav. If he has a Mum, the Kohen can't do Birchas Kohanim. So this is the second Tosfos that goes against the Mefurish Mishnah, Mefurish Gemara. The Mishnah tells us that a Baal Mum cannot do Nisiyas Kapayim, yet Tosfos says that a Baal Mum is allowed to. We saw earlier that the Gemara said that there's an Isra Asay for a Zar to do Birchas Kohanim, and Tosfos in Shabbat says, what's the Isra Asay? So there are two Tosfosim who completely ignore two Mefurish Gemaras.
Seemingly.
There's another two Tosfosim that seem to go against each other. I don't want to get too involved in this. But there's an Isser also based on this week's Parsha for a Shikr, someone who's drunk. He's not allowed to do Avoda. He's also not allowed to pass Kintrailas. And he also can't do Birchas Kohanim. And how much does he have to drink in order to be considered drunk? A Revis. Exactly, a Revis. So the Tosfos in Shabbos says that, and versus Tosfos in Krisus, one compares this to Tefillah, and one says a Kavah Chomer from Tefillah. One says the same halachas of drinking, of Birchas Kohanim, is the same exact shir as Tefillah, because one Tosfos equates Birchas Kohanim to Tefillah. Like the Rambam plays it in Hilchos Tefillah. The other one says, no, Tefillah has a certain gather, but Birchas Kohanim is much more sensitive because it's an avoda. It's different than Tefillah. So we have another two-steer in Tosfosim, whether or not Birchas Kohanim is a din Tefillah and bracha, or it's a din in avoda. So how do we deal with all this? So Minchas Chinuch says, number 21, he says, the Asay, the Isra Asay that we spoke of in the beginning, is Dafka B'Mikdash. Only the Beis HaMikdash is there an Isra for you and I. Now there are two Kohanim in the room right now, I see. A Kohen is allowed to, of course, he has a mitzvah to go to the Beis HaMikdash and do Birchas Kohanim. If anyone else here goes in the Beis HaMikdash and does Birchas HaKohanim, that's the only time that there's an Isra Asay where they would Shahu Mevarchin B'Shem HaMefarsh. They use Hashem's special name. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Isra Asay at all. And that's what also it's written in the Sefer Chavetz Chas Sharon also goes through this, that the Isser is only in the Beis HaMikdash, and that will answer all our questions.
Sure does.
Let's go through one by one. In the beginning, we start off by saying, the Gemara in Ksuba says... Exactly. You can play Misa in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Exactly. You can play Misa as well. So the... I'm not sure, for Birchas Kohanim, I don't know. All the other avodos, you're right, there's a Chiyah Misa. But the fact that Nisiyas Kapayim, that the Gemara in Ksuba says that there's an Isra Asay, might indicate that there's only an Isra Asay, and there's not a Chiyah Misa. I'm not sure then. But let's go through one by one all the different questions. The Isra Asay, the Gemara in Ksuba was only referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Shabbos, where Rabbi Yossi says, Miyamai, all my days, I never went against my friend's word. And if my friend told me, go do duchening, I would. Even though Rabbi Yossi knew he wasn't a Kohen, he'd still do it. Because that's referring to Chutz the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Isra involved in there. That's why Tosa says, I don't know what the answer is. What's the problem of doing Birchas Kohanim outside the Beis Hamikdash? The difference between the Mumim, the Mishnah in Megillah is talking about where Mum cannot do Birchas Kohanim, that's referring to the Beis Hamikdash. Tosos, who says that a Mum is allowed to, that's talking about in Shul, outside the Beis Hamikdash. So this deals with all our different questions. And that would also explain, exactly, the Gra, the Gra said that the Isser only exists in the Beis Hamikdash. What about outside? So it seems like from the Gra, the Isser would extend itself even outside. He seems to argue on this, very good. But according to the way we assume, and most of us do give Birchas Kohanim with two hands, another explanation might be is that there's no Isser. The Isser, as say, as the Minchas Chinuch writes, is only in the Beis Hamikdash. None of us are obviously giving Birchas Abanim out inside the Beis Hamikdash. It's in our house. Under the chuppah, it's all permitted because there is no Isser at all. It's simply saying psukim. It's simply saying brachas. I want to just, towards the end, get to a little bit about the sod of what it means to give Birchas Kohanim. Now, first and foremost, it's a bracha. Even a Birchas Hedyot, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, even a Birchas Hedyot is worth a bracha. Mm-hmm. You should get a bracha from anybody you could possibly get a bracha from. But at the same time, we don't serve Hashem just looking for brachos. That's not how we serve Hashem. The story goes that Rav Yashiv, when he was once a tzaddik at a great-great-great-grandson's bris, so the mole says to him, you know what the Svarim say, as if he didn't know. But he says, you know what the Svarim say, if you're zochah to see five generations of descendants, so then you're zochah to Gan Eden. So Rav Yashiv says, I've been trying my entire life to get into the front door, I'm not looking to get into the back door. So we don't look for brachos to try to get to high levels. That's not the goal in Yiddishkeit. We try to do mitzvahs and listen to Hashem. Brachos are nice. Brachos from tzaddikim are certainly nice, and brachos from kohanim are especially nice. But brachos ahead, you're like, we're giving our children, doesn't really mean that much. Something. That's not why we really give brachos to our children. So the Tver Shlomo writes, number 23, he argues on Rashi. We start off by saying that Rashi says that when Aaron was giving, spreading his hands out over the Am in this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha, he was giving Birchas Kohanim. Says in Tver Shlomo, L'chora kan lo haya tzivoy shel Birchas Kohanim. We didn't get the bracha, the mitzvah, until Parsha's Naso, what we said before. We're a few Parshas before there, a few weeks before Parsha's Naso. So Aaron didn't know about Birchas Kohanim yet. So he wasn't giving Birchas Kohanim. You know what he was doing? He quotes the Zohar that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting with Amalek, Videi Moshe Kvedim, the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu were very, very Kvedim, very heavy. And they begin to fall down to the side. So Zohar writes, it doesn't mean Kvedim, you have to read it as Shehayu Yadav Mechubadim. Mechubadim, they were honorable. They were powerful. There was a certain koach that the hands had. So says the Tver Shlomo, when Moshe Rabbeinu was raising his hands up over Klai Yisrael, it was Mechubadim. Chikain koachat tzaddik b'haramas yadav levad yachol gam kein lashbia lahorid chasadim. A tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik like Aaron, has the ability with their hands and fingers alone to just shower chesed, shower bracha with their hands alone. That's what the Zohar means when it says v'idei Moshe kvedim mechubadim. They had this koach. So Aaron wasn't giving a bracha of birchas kohanim according to Tver Shlomo. He was giving this bracha of shalom, of koach, of chasadim. Somehow, he was infusing the am with some koach of his yadav mechubadim.
And this is coming from Zohar, the source?
Based on the Zohar, exactly. And that's what the Tver Shlomo says further in the end of, he's a piece on the end of Pesach. That's what the minhag of people, what he explains, shaking each other's hands. He says in source number 24, when people come and shake each other's hands, and they say shalom aleichem, through the koach of their hands, they're channeling this bracha of shalom to one another. Because
two,
I guess you have both brachas, exactly. That'd be depending on the gra or not, one hand or two hands maybe. But that's the idea. I guess you're
my father.
Yeah? So that's the idea. Through the hands, through the fingers, says the Zohar, you have the ability to channel some level of bracha, some level of shalom through the hands. That's the idea.
Most people copy the ball players and they want to do this to you in shul.
Exactly.
What do we tell them? This is a good thing to copy the ball
right.
players?
So fine. So then they say further, that's exactly why a Kohen brought down in Halacha, a Kohen who killed, who did Ritzicha, is not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim because his fingers, his hands are contaminated. They don't have the ability to give bracha anymore. There's blood on his hands. That's what's brought down in Ma'aseh L'Melech here, at the end of source number 25. Lachain mi she'harag ha'nefesh Ainu roi le nesiyas kapayim. The yadav damim malo. His hands are full of blood. He killed somebody. He doesn't have the ability to be mashbia with bracha and shalom. I'm not sure.
They have that channel by the soldiers.
Yeah, I don't know. So then Tosa says in Brachos, there's a minhag, brought down halacha, source 26, Al-Kain yesh livtsoa b'shte yadav b'eser et both neged eser tevel shebemikrazeh. He brought down Tosos, brought down Shulchan Aruch, that a person when saying a bracha, birchas hamotzi, he should place all 10 fingers on the bread when saying the bracha. And his basis is, because a pasuk earlier has 10 words, so connected the 10 words, you place your 10 fingers. And the Torah writes, because there are 10 mitzvahs that are involved in the process of making bread. I want to suggest something else. Rav Soloveitchik had the following question. He asked, why is the only time that we bench is after having bread? Why don't we bench after we have a fruit or have a vegetable? Why dafka after bread? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, it's based on the pasuk, but the idea behind this is as follows. When a farmer plants those seeds of wheat and they begin to grow, and then he cuts it, then he takes the wheat, then he separates, he gets the kernels, takes the kernels, begins to crush them, and then he begins to separate everything, then he places the water and he begins to knead it, and then he bakes it. After all those months of working really hard, he sits down and says, finally, I can now enjoy my piece of bread that I worked on so hard. And he forgets entirely HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability and gave those kernels the ability to turn into bread. So at that point, he needs to be reminded with benching that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the ability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the ability in the bread. When it comes to fruit, there's not much that a farmer has to do. You plant the tree, and there's a little bit of tending to the tree, but it's completely ready. Ma'aseh Hashem is so clear from eating that apple off the tree is all Hashem's doing, very little on your part. But when it comes to the bread, where you think you did everything, it's very easy to forget Hashem. You need to be reminded with benching that you were involved in this. So bread is really the moment, the opportunity that man has the ability to emulate Hashem and create. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We create, we build buildings, we make houses, we make bread. We create things also. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in our hands, our fingers, our ability to create things. Ma'aseh Yadav. So dafka bread, we have to place our fingers saying that it's not our doing. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing that gave us the ability to create this bread. So the Shlomo writes that we know you're supposed to try to find Yud Kei Vav Kei in everything in this world. So I think we mentioned in the past in Meister Kesafim, talking about tzedakah, that the Svarim write Yud Kei Vav Kei, the pruta is the Yud. In your hand is the Hei. You extend your hand is the Vav, and placing in the hand of the Ani is the other Hei. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Shlomo says that the entire body of a person is also Yud Kei Vav Kei. The head is a Yud, the right hand is a Hey, the body is a Vav, and the left hand is the other Hey. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So now our hand, to have these kochos, the ability to be mashbia, is the two Heys of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Hashem. We're taking the two Heys and being mashbia with bracha, with chesed, with whatever bracha and shalom we want to give, through our hands. So Medrash Tanchuma says that Klal Yisrael is complaining to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't want a bracha from Kohanim. We want a bracha from you. We don't want them. The Kohanim are great, but we want a bracha from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, when the Kohanim are spreading their hands and the fingers the way they do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking in between the fingers. He's peering between those windows. And he's really giving the bracha, but through the conduit of the fingers, of the Kohanim. The fingers are somehow, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and created men, the fingers have the ability to create. But with the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us that, it's the conduit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to infuse that ability to create bread, to give bracha, to raise our children. That's what fingers do. The fingers represent the haze of Hashem's name. Because that's the ability HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to create in this world. Well, in the Gemara says, in the end of Chagiga, that the Shekhinah is shor alav. So because that all these things are coming together, somehow the Shekhinah is resting upon the fingers of the Kohanim, and that's why you're not allowed to look. So that's the idea of a bracha. But as I said before, that might be the sod of why you need two hands, both hey, that's it for the sources, both heys. We have the ability to shower bracha, to shower shalom through the fingers, through the koch of the etzbos. That's why we place 10 fingers on the bread. But who are we to give brachas to our children? So there's a beautiful, beautiful story I read, which I think might give a nice idea to why we give brachas to our children. There's a yeshiva called Shuvu. Maybe you've heard of the Shuvu. It helps kids who grew up in Soviet Union, Jewish education. So a number of years ago, they took a trip to Eretz Israel. They went to the Kosel, and they brought many of the Gdolim from America. And there's one boy there, not from the program, who was trying to figure out what all that commotion was. These old men, long white beards, who they were. So one of the men told him that this program Shuvu and a number of big Rashi Yeshiva from America came to visit. Would you like me to go bring you to take a bracha? Get a bracha from one of them. He said, sure, why not? I'll take you to Rav Aaron Schechter, Rashi Yeshiva, and get a nice bracha from him. So he takes him over. Rav Aaron Schechter immediately realizes that he's a Baal Tshuva. So he starts to make him feel very comfortable and warm and inviting. And the boy feels so proud of himself. He got a bracha from Rav Aaron Schechter. And the next week, he was going around telling everybody he met, all his friends, I got a bracha from Rav Aaron Schechter. So one guy says to him, did you also get a bracha from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky? He says, no, I don't know who that was. He's the Rav Shiva of Philly. A few days later, he tells another guy, another friend of his, he got a bracha from Rav Aaron Schechter. So the guy says, oh, did you also get a bracha from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky? He says, that's so funny you ask. The other guy asked me the same question. I don't know who he is. So then right in front of him, there was a newspaper, and the front was a picture of all the Gedolim who went to visit the Kosa that day. So he says, oh, see, that's Rav Aaron, that guy in the middle, that's Rav Aaron Schechter, I got a bracha from him. And you see the guy next to him, that's the guy who took me to go get a bracha from Rav Aaron Schechter. No, that was Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. But the idea is that this person who got the bracha felt so good, he felt so warm. That's what the idea of a bracha, not the bracha, the bracha certainly is powerful, but how one feels when they receive the bracha from Rosh Hashiva. How one feels when they receive a bracha from their father. That's what we start. Dr. Pelkowitz said it's a very, very important thing, he thought, that this idea of showing affection to your children, to your sons and to your daughters, giving them a kiss, giving them a hug. So building in once a week, just placing your hands on their heads, giving them a kiss, makes them feel that affection. The same way that this Rosh Hashiva, Rav Aaron Schechter, made this boy feel, that's how we should make our children feel each Friday night. In addition to the bracha, but really in terms of building relationship. To mir Hashem Yishol Bizocha, to see nachas from our children, see them grow in simcha, ava, grow with that warmth and sensitivity. Mir Hashem.
Amen.